Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Chippewa Valley Theater Guild, UW-River Falls Wyman Series, and the Minnesota Beethoven Festival. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at wpr.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Nothing like the sound when the day breaks. Me and Daddy in the woods on a Saturday. You see, his granddaddy hunted these hills, and I hope someday that my kids will. He said, do me a favor before I'm gone. Love this land and pass it on.
Today on Route 51, we talk about conservation and our natural resources and what it will take to pass them on to the next generation. I'm Glenn Moberg, and specifically today, we will be looking at proposed cuts, pending cuts to the Department of Natural Resources and changes that were approved late last week by the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee, and which will now be debated by the Assembly and Senate, and if passed, would go to Governor Walker for his signature. The changes were approved by a 12-4 party line vote, with all Republicans voting yes and all Democrats voting no. 18 science positions at the DNR's Bureau of Science Services would be eliminated under the plan, about a third of the total number of scientists employed there. Conservation land purchases under the state stewardship program would be slowed down, but not frozen, as Governor Walker had requested. And there will be new restrictions placed on how counties and local governments can regulate shoreline zoning. In the second half of the show, we will hear from a Republican member of the Joint Finance Committee, Senator Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst, who represents the 18th Senate District. But joining us now, we have former DNR Secretary George Meyer, who is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation and a critic of the changes. We also want to hear from you. If you would like to weigh in, the phone number is 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. And again, you'll be talking to George Meyer for the first half of the show and Senator Tom Tiffany for the second half. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. George Meyer, thanks so much for being with us today.
Glad to be with you, Glenn.
And before we get started, just tell us a little bit about the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, what your organization does, and who your members are.
Well, the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation is a statewide group comprised of over 190 hunting, fishing, and trapping forestry-related groups. In addition, we have about 6,000 individual members. And we work on conservation advocacy for sound policies and conservation.
What do your members think of the changes that have been approved by the Joint Finance Committee?
Well, they were very upset with the proposals that were advanced by the governor in this budget. We are, we think that the Joint Finance Committee made some significant improvements by overturning some of those proposals, but in fact, there's still some major problems with what's being advanced in the state budget.
Now, your organization and you personally have taken some stances on a number of issues, some of which have been opposed by other environmentalists. For example, the wolf hunt, which is something you favored.
Yes. I mean, this is just a matter of sound professional management. While wolves are an iconic species in this state and country, they have to be managed like other wildlife, and populations need to be kept under control. And this is sort of the whole basis of our organization, professional scientific management.
When did you serve as DNR secretary?
From 1993 to 2001, I was appointed by the Natural Resources Board and then reappointed twice by Governor Thompson.
Did you serve under Jim Doyle at all?
I did not.
So you served under a Republican. Would a person like you be able to serve as a DNR secretary today, or has the agency become politicized?
It has become extremely politicized, and I would doubt I would be appointed by many governors. There really is, and this isn't just this is not a partisan issue. In both under Democratic and Republican governors, you're going to see far more political decisions made by the agency. And I'm not faulting the secretaries that get appointed. They have a job to do. They're appointed by someone, and they need to follow that direction if they are at risk of losing their positions.
So you're not criticizing the current DNR Secretary, Kathy Stepp?
I'm not. She's in a very difficult position. You know, I wish we would have people, and we made this criticism under Governor Doyle. Our organization believes that the top management people at DNR, at least two of the top three, should have a natural resources background, whether it's in the environmental sciences or the conservation sciences, to be able to understand better what the agency does.
Well, Kathy Stepp does not have that background.
She does not, but like I said, this is not just the situation under this governor. That occurred under the previous governor at times.
George Meyer, we have a question for you from Erin on Facebook, on our Route 51 Facebook page. She says, ask George Meyer to comment on the role of science in justifying department management and regulatory decisions, and how a decrease in science could leave agency decisions more vulnerable to costly legal review and being overturned.
And this gets at the issue, and there are 35 research scientists in the Bureau of Research in DNR. 18 of those positions are being eliminated. The work that these individuals do is the fundamental building block of virtually every department program, whether it's water quality and what things do we have to do as a state to regain water quality in those lakes that don't have it, or protect it from those lakes that are still in pretty good shape. Invasive species management of everything from wolves to bear to walleye to muskie to trout, doing that fundamental data collection, survey work, testing out new management proposals, whether it's different type of bag limits or size limits, to see how the species will respond, or what kind of land management practices we need to do, whether it's on shorelands or on DNR-owned lands. Without this, we're going to make bad management decisions in the future. It's going to be trial and error. And there are some historical things in the state that these plant species that got introduced by the conservation department because research had not been done, that are just overtaking many of our wildlife areas. Or if we don't make good management decisions, we're not going to have strong fish and wildlife populations, which is important to my members, but also to the multi-billion dollar tourism industry in the state.
Well, DNR Secretary Bill Koch, in a comment to the Journal Sentinel, said, and this is a quote, "This does not eliminate our ability to conduct research. What these cuts require us to do is to better prioritize the research that our scientists are engaged in to help us come up with informed management decisions." Your reaction to that?
It doesn't totally eliminate research science in the Department of Natural Resources. That I agree with. It cuts out half of it, which is very, very serious and detrimental. Let me get to another issue I think I've seen from Senator Tiffany, and I've seen from the DNR secretary, actually. Well, we've got a lot of other scientists in the department, and I think I've seen the number 700. Why is losing these 18 positions? Because those 700 don't do research. What's being included in that number are wastewater engineers that approve sewage treatment plants, or air engineers that approve emissions from power plants. Every other type of scientist within DNR, of course, DNR has a lot of scientists. It's an environmental regulatory agency, so, you know, it has a lot of scientists. But these individuals are working on permits, and let's take wildlife managers. These are biologists. They often have the same starting point as a research scientist. But in their career, they made a different decision. Research scientists decide they want to go into research and get skills in doing research. A It's a totally different type of wildlife management position than someone is managing a species on the land and working with citizens on local information and managing wildlife areas. Totally different skills, and the research scientists going to get master's degrees, doctor's degrees in a relatively narrow area of science and become top-notch experts in it. And those wildlife managers need that information from the researchers to make good decisions on the properties they manage. It's a totally different situation, and I really get upset when people try to mingle these different types of scientists. As an example, it's like if you need brain surgery, going to a pediatrician. It's a different specialty.
If you just joined us, we are talking to former DNR Secretary George Meyer of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. George will be with us for about another 15 minutes talking about the proposed cuts, which were approved by the Joint Finance Committee to the Department of Natural Resources, including 18 scientists in the Bureau of Science Services. If you would like to speak to George Meyer, this is your opportunity. Again, he'll be with us just for another 15 minutes at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. In the second half of the show, we will be speaking with Senator Tom Tiffany, Republican from Hazelhurst, and a member of the Joint Finance Committee, which approved the proposed changes. George Meyer, you were one of the people testifying in Madison on Thursday. There was a news conference in the Capitol with a number of other scientists. What did you and the other scientists say in that news conference, and what message were you trying to send to the committee?
Well, these are people that were from outside the agency, but are noted scientists in their own right. Some are academics, but the basic premise was from those individuals the point that this is fundamental information that's needed for good resource management. This type of research. The other point, and this is something that is insidious, but it's going to happen. Wisconsin DNR used to be known as one of the top five natural resource management agencies in the country. That no longer is the case. It has really gone downhill because of a lot of political decisions that are made over the last dozen years. And what you're going to see in terms of research scientists, these are top-notch scientists. Many could get a job anywhere in the country. And in fact, some have come from Virginia Tech and other top universities to come to work at what used to be a prestigious natural resources agency. And you're going to lose those people. They are valuable. They can get better pay often in other places. And you're going to see people hesitating coming to work for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. So it's going to be erosion of that talent in addition to the erosion of the science that produces sound natural resource management.
What do you make of the fact that these cuts were approved on a 12-4 party line vote with 8 Republicans voting or 12 Republicans voting in favor and 4 Democrats voting opposed?
Once a party caucus or a majority of the members of the 12 members of, say, the majority party on the Joint Finance Committee decide to take a position, they all unify. So there's not a dissenting vote. And you'll find, except for maybe 5% votes where you may get some 16-0 where they toss the minority party something or agree with the minority party position, almost all the votes are 12-4. Those get negotiated out before the vote takes place. You rarely see a member of the majority party voting against the rest of the majority party votes.
One of the Democratic Party members of the Joint Finance Committee, John Erpenbach, said, and I'm quoting him here, "The cuts are as petty gets." And I've heard Democrats claim that some of these cutbacks are payback for studies the scientists conducted on climate change and also finding problems with the proposed Pinocchio Hills Gagebic taconite iron ore mine. Do you think that's a plausible analysis?
Well, it's not speculation. I read it in the newspaper. And it was a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article interviewing Senator Tiffany, who raised those two specific things along with some Bobcat and Deer research that he disagreed with. But the scientists come up with objective information. They said there was the potential, if not done right, that the Pinocchio mine could cause pollution. That isn't a major revelation. The fact that they are that these researchers are working with UW researchers to do adaptive management to react to what is happening on the land because of warming temperatures, both to our forest and our fish and wildlife. Every other state in the country is doing this kind of research. The Pentagon is doing this type of research. But because some people do not believe in climate change, they don't think we should be adapting to what most sportsmen see what's happening in terms of change of seasons. Most farmers in the state are seeing in change of seasons. One point I'd like to make, and Senator Tiffy is a policymaker, the Natural Resources Board is, the secretary is. The role of research scientists, and the research scientists at DNR have always done this and no more, is to do their research and provide information to the decision makers. The policymakers still get to make that decision. They may say, okay, we know this is your projected result, but we have to modify it because of these social factors. The people aren't going to accept that type or aren't going to agree with that management position, so it's never going to be effective. So we need to moderate it or something. That's the role of policymakers. When I was secretary, I didn't go along with every research decision because it wouldn't work because of social factors or economic factors. And that's what the role of the policymakers is. What is wrong is for policymakers saying, I don't want that information at all. I'm going to cut half the scientists. That leads to ill-informed decisions by policymakers.
Let's talk about a couple of things that I think you're happy with from the Joint Finance Committee. They did not freeze land purchases under the State Stewardship Fund, but instead slowed them down. Comment on that.
I think this was a good decision. The emphasis was made on buying land south of Highway 64, which is the northern third of the state. We have a lot of public land up there. They still can do it, but they need more legislative involvement, which is fine. This is a, I really give the Joint Finance credit. Speaker Voss, the majority party, did some great leadership on this. And Representative Laudenbeck did on Joint Finance. Interestingly, Senator Tiffany didn't like it, but he did vote with it because, as I mentioned, they go along with decisions once are made in caucus. He would have eliminated that land buying.
Well, some people say the state already owns enough land and we need to keep the land on the property rolls.
There is, well, the property rolls issue is the local units of government get compensated for land bought by DNR equal to what they would have gotten if it'd be in private ownership.
But it does take it off the tax rolls.
Yes, but they get aid in lieu of taxes, which is equivalent. But our organization took a position. We knew that there needed to be cutbacks in this program, and we didn't oppose having some cutbacks in this program. I mean, my membership is fairly conservative fiscally, and we understand the debt issue very well and would have been willing to accept even greater cuts in this program. In fact, told that to Joint Finance Committee members. There needed to be a balancing. What we were opposed to is the governor's freezing of any land purchases for 13 years. That was an extreme measure.
The Joint Finance Committee also did not go along with the governor, who wanted to make the Natural Resources Board an advisory body instead of a policymaking body that would have reported to the DNR secretary. I imagine you're happy with that as well.
Not just the Wildlife Federation, except for two major statewide hunting and fishing group in the state oppose that change. It is something that's been an important tradition in the state, but not only it gives unique in government, it gives average citizens a real opportunity to have an impact on natural resources management, where you can talk in a public setting to the decision makers and have a greater impact. It, in fact, contrary to what some say, like Senator Tiffany, it gives greater accountability to average citizens. And once again, this is something that Senator Tiffany was a strong supporter of, getting rid of the Natural Resources Board as a decision-making body.
There was also a provision passed Friday that would limit the ability of state and county governments to protect lakes through shoreline zoning. Explain what that is and what your reaction to it is.
This is one that's a real puzzler. Back in the late 1960s, the legislature directed the Department of Natural Resources to come up with minimum, and I want to emphasize the word minimum, standards for land development around lakes and streams. And the reason that, and this is usually a local decision in terms of land use, we have always had that, but because the lakes are owned by the state and the public, and have, in fact, constitutionally, the state has a duty to protect them, the department at that time came up with standards, minimum standards, which have been revised a couple times, but provide some guidance on size of lots, setbacks, vegetation protection near the shoreline or whatever, to protect the water quality in those lakes, runoff, protect fish habitat, which is important. That's another state trust responsibility. But they are one size fits all. Northern Wisconsin has beautiful lakes and many that are clear, and just the forest cover, the different types of soils and geological formations lead to better water quality than we often have in the southern part of the state, especially because we have more agricultural and urban impact on our lakes. So these lakes are just the basic minimum to give some level of protection. Well, about 10 years ago, led by Senator Coles, a Republican member of the Senate and others, Senator Kedzie, there were local units of government were given the authority, counties, to come up with better protection for their counties. And there was a process on how they could do that to get a lot of public input from local citizens. And that was done. And there are 17 counties in this state, and virtually all of them in northern Wisconsin, that looked at their lakes and put them into classes saying, okay, on these lakes, we're going to have a little bit this level of protection, and then this one, and then some just had the minimum state standards.
Well, I would imagine, George Meyer, that Senator Tiffany will say that he's trying to protect property rights, the property rights of people who've spent a lot of money to put a home on one of our northern lakes.
The irony is you'll find the lakeshore owners often want these kind of protections. In fact, that's why the Wisconsin Association of Lakes opposes what happened, and they're made up of property owner associations that oppose what the senator has done. He and Senator Representative Shile were behind us. And the irony of it, these counties in his district, the county boards, and these are very conservative county boards, voted for this. Langlade, Lincoln, Oneida, Vilas, Forest counties. These are not green, extreme environmental groups. These are elected by the local people that live on those lakes.
I've got to ask, George Meyer, I've got to ask you one more question. The time has gone much too quickly. Rick on our Facebook page says, earlier this year, the Wisconsin DNR entered into a five-year agreement with Kentucky to transfer up to 150 elk to Wisconsin. Just last month, it was reported that five of the Kentucky herd died from a tick-borne disease. While the DNR is committed to providing 24-hour care and monitoring to the remaining elk before being released this month, how will the agency keep its end of the five-year deal with Kentucky given these cutbacks, and how will it affect our ability to manage the deer herd?
Well, you know, especially in terms of management deer or any species elk, you need the basic research science, whether it's predator impacts on the deer herd, habitat, need to cut more trees in northern Wisconsin for deer habitat. That's what research provides us, that information, so that good policy decisions can be made.
Are you worried about chronic wasting disease?
Very much so. And the state is doing virtually nothing in regard to it except measuring its growth. And it's a tough issue. I'm not going to make it sound like there's a silver bullet, but you know, the agency is not getting information out to the average public of the increase that's taking place in chronic wasting disease in the state and the impact that it's having on herds out in the West, which are having some population impacts because of chronic wasting disease.
George Meyer, thank you so much for being with us. It's George Meyer, former DNR Secretary and Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about pending cuts and changes at the Department of Natural Resources. When we return, we will have with us Republican State Senator Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst, a member of the Joint Finance Committee, and we'll be taking your questions at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Going to take a short break. Here's Brad Paisley.
When you see a deer, you see Bambi, and I see antlers up on the wall. When you see a lake, you think picnics, and I see a large mouth up under that log. You're probably thinking that you're gonna change me in some ways. Well, maybe you might scrub me down, dress me up all, but no matter what, remember I'm still a guy.
Thank you to the business sponsors who help support WPR programs, including Steep & Brew, Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, and The Bold Company. Play a role in the success of WPR. Become a business sponsor. Go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Northwind Renewable Energy of Stevens Point, designing and installing solar systems, highly efficient wood boiler systems, and providing deep energy retrofits to buildings. Northwind's project portfolio is available at northwindre.com.
I woke up at 5 a.m., put on my camouflage, wiped off my 243 and fired up my Dodge. Headed out to my old deer stand back in the pines. Gonna get me a 10-point buck with 11-inch nines, yeah. 'Cause I'm a backwoods boy.
I'm Glenn Mobrig, and we are back on Route 51, continuing our discussion of proposed cuts and changes to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, changes that were approved late Friday by members of the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee, including our guest for the second half of this program. Joining us now from Madison, we welcome 18th District Republican Senator Tom Tiffany of Hazelhurst. In the first half of the show, we did hear from former DNR Secretary George Meyer of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation. Mr. Meyer, quite critical about some of the cuts, including the reduction of staff members, in particular the 18 positions in the Bureau of Science Services. We will continue taking your phone calls. If you'd like to comment, if you'd like to ask a question to Senator Tom Tiffany, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Tom Tiffany, thanks so much for making your time available today.
Glenn, it's great to be here. And by the way, it's the 12th Senate that I represent.
Really? 12th Senate District. That's right. That's right. I've got a typo here. Thanks for the correction. Tom Tiffany, why, as a member of the Joint Finance Committee, did you vote for these cuts and changes to the Department of Natural Resources?
I think it's to align the agency with its mission. The Bureau of Science Services has been kind of off on its own place within the Department of Natural Resources, and I think it's important to align those people with the goals of the agency, which is to me, in terms of as a chairman of the Sporting Heritage Committee, which we deal with fishing, hunting rules, stuff like that, it's all about having more and better habitat and more opportunity for sportsmen, and I think this will do that. And it will allow these to, I think it's important to apply the science in a practical manner to opportunity for sportsmen.
We heard George Meyer complain that the cuts, particularly the reduction of the 18 positions in the Bureau of Science Services, would harm the agency's ability to do the research that it needs so that we can have a healthy deer herd and have healthy habitat and stop invasive species and have a healthy walleye population. Your reaction to that?
Well, let's look at the record. Lobbyist Meyer, I hope he shared with you, the Minocqua Chain of Lakes now is shut down for walleye fishing for the next 5 years. They're trying to rebuild the walleye fishery there. You have 13 counties in far northern Wisconsin, even more of them this past year, that there's no antlerless permits being put out for deer hunting. The deer numbers have crashed so far that they're not able to be able to issue antlerless permits. So I think the record shows that we're not moving in the right direction, and that's part of the reason why we need to get these people integrated within the agency to work on things that are applied science rather than things that are more theoretical that they have been working on. And you know, I think the other thing that's important to mention here, Glenn, is that you know there's 700 scientists within the Department of Natural Resources. Lobbyist Meyer has made the point that this is going to end, in effect, end science research within the Department of Natural Resources, really very pejorative language. And that's not the case at all. There's a lot of science going on within the Department of Natural Resources. As I mentioned, there's 700 scientists that we're going to integrate these other scientists that have been in Bureau of Science Services with those people that are doing applied science.
Four Democrats on the Joint Finance Committee were quite critical of the changes, including Senator John Erpenbach. And here's a quote. He said, "Those cuts are as petty gets." Erpenbach and the other Democrats say the scientists are being targeted because you don't like their research and their conclusions about climate change in Wisconsin, and also some of the critical conclusions that they reached regarding the Gogebic Taconite iron ore mine that you supported in northern Wisconsin. How do you react to those kinds of comments, and is there anything to them?
Certainly I think in regards to the mining study that they did in Science Services, I mean, they went and employed Tom Fitz, who is Northland professor who is as anti-mining as you'll find in the state of Wisconsin. Why they would choose somebody like that to supposedly do an unbiased study, I don't understand that. But to me, it's more about what I talked about previously with deer hunting. I mean, we've went in about 10 to 15 years here from having some of the best deer hunts in Wisconsin up north to where it's really getting difficult. And I hear from my constituents all the time about this, and I think it's important to remember that this is largely constituent driven. I listen to those people, and I mean serious sportsmen who are like, we don't have opportunity the way we used to in a number of different ways, and this needs to change. And Science Services has been part of what has caused this to happen in northern Wisconsin.
And Mr. Meyer was also quite critical about the new restrictions that you and the other members of the Joint Finance Committee have put on the ability of counties and local governments to strengthen their shoreline regulations. What was the reason for that?
Well, that has to do with the NR 115 shoreland zoning regulations. I mean, we're working within the framework that was passed by Democrats in 2010, where they said we're going to have these shoreland zoning provisions put in place. We're just saying people should be able to keep what they have. I mean, one of the main provisions in the shoreland zoning motion was that if someone, let's say somebody's house burns down, that they can rebuild their house within the existing footprint and other outbuildings. Outbuildings were not included in the latest version of NR 115. I think most people would agree that, if your house burns down or for whatever reason you want to rebuild within the footprint of your existing home, you should be able to do that. I just think that's common sense.
Mr. Meyer said the tougher regulations have been supported by some very conservative county boards, Langlade County, Oneida County, a number of counties in the North Woods that you represent.
Yeah, well, this does not take away. I mean, for example, you have the 75-foot setback in NR115. That doesn't take that away. Impervious surface language, which is very important to the environmental groups, the impervious surface language is still in there. We're just trying to balance the benefit to the environment, but also respecting private property rights also. And, you know, I understand. Let's step back a second here, Glenn, on these changes. You know, Senator Erpenbach's charges that, you know, it's personal, it's petty, things like that. I mean, we can continue to live in the 20th century. I mean, George Meyer was the Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources in the mid-90s when he set up this pod system for the Department of Natural Resources, which has been disastrous in terms of the organization of the Department of Natural Resources, and they're still trying to change that 20 years later because it set up this pod system, which led to unaccountability, which is one of the main concerns people have had with the department, had put DNR employees in a very bad position. What we're saying is that this is the 21st century. There are changes that can be made and should be made to reflect how we go about business in a different manner. And some people want to stay in the 20th century. We're saying, hey, we got to move on and adapt.
1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to talk to Senator Tom Tiffany, Republican from the 12th Senate District and a member of the Joint Finance Committee that approved changes and some cuts to the Department of Natural Resources. Let's go to the phones. We have Joe from Eagle River. Joe, you're on with Senator Tiffany.
Yes. Hi, Glenn. Hi, Senator. First of all, I want to thank you for your efforts to rein in the Department of Natural Resources. They are in direct opposition to private property rights under the guise of environmental protection. I had to laugh at Secretary Meyer's characterization of some of these issues. First, the pilot program, he says, makes up for taxes that would be collected from land that was taken off the tax rolls. That's like taking it from the left pocket and putting it into the right pocket. There's no tax benefit to the government when one government agency pays taxes to another. And second of all, on the issue that you were talking about, the lakes, he characterized that as some local effort that was driving this. This was an organized effort by certain environmental groups to rezone these lakes, and the DNR played a big part in promulgating these rules.
Joe, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's get Senator Tiffany's response.
Yeah, Glenn, let me hit a couple of those points. First of all, NR 115 only applies to unincorporated areas. I used this example in the hearing where I had my dinner and excursion boat in the city of Rhinelander a few years ago. I could build right up to the ordinary high water mark. I could build right to the ordinary high water mark. A couple hundred feet down the shoreline where was an unincorporated municipality outside the city of Rhinelander, they had to have a 75-foot setback. NR 115 is a discriminatory policy that has been in place since the 1960s, and it's anti-rural development, which is, I believe, inappropriate. Secondly, in regards to, I think he was referring to the stewardship program, and you know, we pulled back on that a little bit in terms of spending. I think something that's very important for our listeners to understand about stewardship, that is all bonded. In other words, we're using the taxpayers' credit card in order to buy that land. And we owe $1 billion over the next 20 years for land purchases. You know, I think we really need to reconsider that program. And we came to a compromise. I would have liked to have restricted a little bit further, but I worked with my fellow legislators. And we kept the program in place, but we scaled it back a little bit, and I think that's appropriate with all the bonding that's out there.
Would you have been in favor of freezing the stewardship program for 13 years, which is what the governor wanted?
Yes, I did favor the governor's proposal. I do think that we came to a better place. I was certainly, I worked with other members of Joint Finance very closely on this, and we ultimately said we should continue to do something, and I agreed with that in the end, Glenn.
One other way in which the Joint Finance Committee broke from the governor's proposal, you decided not to take up his proposal to make the Natural Resources Board, instead of a policymaking board, an advisory board that would report to the DNR secretary. George Meyer said that if you had done that, it would have essentially politicized the agency and kept it from reaching the scientific conclusions and the good science policy decisions that it needs to make. You were in favor of that. Tell us why.
Yes, I supported no longer having the Natural Resources Board making policy, and here's the reason why. They have the ability to set policy, state policy, via the rulemaking process. So in other words, it becomes law in Wisconsin. So you have an unelected board that creates law in Wisconsin that spends the taxpayers' money. I always oppose that, and that's not just the Natural Resources Board. It's other boards also. I do not believe a board should be able to make law in Wisconsin, an unelected board, should be able to make laws in Wisconsin. And I think you can see the impact of it. Just this past, about a week ago or so, the Natural Resources Board passed new panfish regulations. It's going to make the rule book longer. It's going to be more complicated in regards to trout fishing as a result of the rules that the new rule they passed. I would go back to CWD. We used $45 million worth of sportsmen's money trying to eradicate CWD. Now, I get it that the first $10 million, maybe $20 million, Glenn, that CWD was new to the state of Wisconsin. Let's make efforts to see if we can get rid of it. But once they figured out that was not successful, shouldn't we have stopped? That all came via the Natural Resources Board. We ended up spending $45 million on that, much of that that was wasted. And that happens as a result of the rulemaking process. And I could give you other examples along those lines. Should an unelected board be able to spend money like that? I don't believe they should.
Let's talk about chronic wasting disease. In 2008, less than 2% of the deer tested positive. Just last year, more than 6% tested positive. And in north central Iowa County, the disease rate among adult male deer has reached 40%. And chronic wasting disease no longer found only in southern Wisconsin. Bill Leaders, in a recent column, says it's likely, and this is a quote from him, the disease will continue to spread, infecting and killing deer until the number of animals available for hunters is seriously depleted. And he adds, if the scientists are right and Wisconsin's deer hunt is devastated, will politicians get the blame? And George Meyer again says it's, again, something that the DNR should be actively involved in, because without their involvement, this chronic wasting disease is just going to spread and devastate our deer hunt.
Yeah, I think Mr. Leader's comments are purely speculative.
Very good. Let's go back to the phones. Bill in Tomahawk, you're on with Senator Tom Tiffany.
Hi, gentlemen. Just a quick question. In Wisconsin, and especially in Lincoln County, we have a lot of public land, and it's one of the reasons that we live here. And nearby is the Willow Flowage and the whole Willow area. If the sequestration of funds had been in place, the Willow region wouldn't be in public hands. And I think that's near and dear to Mr. Tiffany, and I just don't understand how he can, on the one hand, enjoy the Willow, and on the other hand, say, no more Willows.
Bill, thanks so much for the comment. Tom Tiffany, your reaction?
Yeah, what Bill is saying, and I think it's a fair point, I live on the Willow Flowage. It's a gorgeous area, and I've said in public comments that I believe the Stewardship Fund has had broad support. I would say up to 80% of the public supports what has happened with the Stewardship Fund. It's 25 years old now, and it's a matter of, do we continue to do what we've been doing in the past? And so often with government programs, we say, well, geez, they should just go on forever. I say that sometimes you need to reevaluate, is it serving the purposes of the public? I mean, there's been some, what I believe the public very much supports, purchases like the Willow, the Turtle Flambeau, the Chippewa Flowage, those big reservoirs where the state has bought that land around. I think the public supports that as well as some other purchases. But we're starting to get into areas where we've seen purchases, you know, of like a half acre and things like that. In one case, a half acre for $400,000. And I think the public is starting to go, okay, we like the program, but do we need to continue to spend up to $80 million a year, which we were a few years ago, to buy land in Wisconsin and do it on the public's credit card? Because remember, as joint finance members, Glenn, we also have to fund education, the UW system, health care. I mean, you have all these programs that we have to balance. and continue to put that much money on the credit card of the state taxpayers, I did not think was appropriate.
Well, your critics would say that the governor should have accepted the state Medicaid expansion money, the federal Medicaid money, and he should have delayed some of these tax credits for businesses in order to balance the budget without making those cuts.
Yeah, no, I understand. People can say that. That will be borne out over the next few years as we find the federal government pulls back the dollars for Medicaid. And I mean, look at the study out in Oregon, and Representative Chaya from Tomahawk alluded to this, where Medicaid is not any better than in terms of health outcomes than having no insurance at all.
Let's move back to the phones, 1-800-780-9742. We have Claire in Baraboo. Claire, you're on Route 51 with Senator Tom Tiffany.
Hi, Glenn. Great show. Mr. Tiffany, I'm hearing you speak out of both sides of your mouth, sir. You live up north. I do not. I live in central Wisconsin. I live near Wisconsin Dells, which is an atrocity. It has been totally ruined by businesses. It is no longer beautiful. If you've been there lately, just drive through there on your way to Madison, and you'll see what I mean. It is dollars at work. But I hear you talking out of both sides of your mouth. Don't you think, as a person living up north, don't you think there should be local control on these environmental things? And you were talking about your fishing group. Isn't clean water the ultimate goal for good fishing?
Claire, we got it. Let's give the senator a chance to respond. Senator Tiffany.
No, thank you, Claire. Appreciate your comments. You certainly benefit from public ownership. What we're saying, though, is that when you go north of Highway 29, you probably got about 40% of the land in far northern Wisconsin that's under public ownership. And we're just saying, okay, how much further do we go? Because when you take these properties and you purchase them via the stewardship program, they're permanently set aside in many cases. Permanently is a long time. What if 50 years from now there's a person that says, hey, I've got a higher and better use for this piece of land? That may not be available. So I think we need to be very thoughtful about land purchases. And by the way, almost 1 in 5 acres in the state of Wisconsin is in public ownership at this point. We have a lot of public land, and in many cases, people support that.
We've got a comment from Kathy on our Facebook page. Are we to understand that natural resources are for the hunter and fisherman only? Are we to grandfather in shacks and former tourist cabins for sentimentalists in the face of good new science that proves they are detrimental to the environment? And she adds, Mr. Tiffany, this constituent of yours is incensed at your attitude toward the land and the water that I love.
Yeah, I believe that we can strike a balance between the human and the natural environment. As I stated in the hearing last Friday, at the end of the day, what should we look at? We should be looking at, are we doing better by the environment as we go year after year? By all measurements, we are doing better year after year. And I got to tell you, some of the environmentally left groups, I will take them seriously when they take on the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District that dumps raw sewage at times in Lake Michigan, when they take on the Bad River Tribe, which is dumping virtually raw sewage into a tributary to Lake Superior, when they start to take on some of the bad actors rather than trying to hinder people's property rights through things like shoreland zoning, then I will take those environmental groups seriously.
Let's squeeze in one more phone call. Rolf in Hayward, and I'm afraid you've only got 15 or 20 seconds. We're running out of time, so make it quick.
Thanks. I just wanted to say, as a Hayward resident and as somebody who's been on the town board in one of the towns in the heart of the Hayward area, I'm really saddened to hear all this blame thrown around at George Meyer, the DNR, and rules. It's important to have complex rules, nuanced rules. The DNR is not the whipping crew. There's a lot of other factors going into it. And finally, we really need to protect what we've got. People come to our state for the beauty of it, the lakes. We need to do a lot of things and stop labeling environmentalists as bad folks, you know, and taking that tack.
Ralph, we are out of time. Senator Tiffany, you've got 15 seconds to
wrap
things up.
Yeah, lots of good people work within the Department of Natural Resources. It's just that we need to adapt to the 21st century. We're doing better by the environment year after year. The changes that we're proposing, they're modest, and they take us into the 21st century rather than saying we're going to stay in the 20th century.
Senator Tom Tiffany, thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate your time.
Great to be here, Glenn.
And we do want to thank today's guests, 12th District State Senator Tom Tiffany, Republican from Hazelhurst and member of the Joint Finance Committee. And in the first half of our program, George Meyer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Wildlife Federation and former Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer and our on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today included the theme to the Andy Griffith Show and selections by Tracy Byrd, Brad Paisley, Josh Turner, and Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Next week on Route 51, we preview the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair, which takes place each year about this time, the time of the summer solstice in rural Custer, Wisconsin, east of Stevens Point. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed part of the show, you can hear it in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. And you can download it at wpr.org/route51. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.